Guys, it is so great to be back with you again. I don't know what it is about this little church. I really, you know, I get to speak a lot. And in fact, I was in just a couple of weeks ago, I was at a church up in Williamstown. Good pastor friend of mine invited me up to speak. And I got about 2,200 people, and it's big, and, you know, and four services and all this. Do you like to come in and all of a sudden you're in this beautiful old building and, you know, it's just warm and you're all so friendly and you get to know, I don't know. I just like it. I just really, really do. No, thank you. I really do. I just love coming. The other day, I was going through the kitchen area. Some of you know, as you come and you share up at the mission, where the kitchen area is and all that. And I heard a little, kind of little disturbance, and I'm kind of looking around, what's going on, you know? And here's this gentleman. It was a transient person, not one of our program people, but he was in line, and he was complaining about the food, you know? And one of our guys stepped up. It was one of the dishwasher, one of our dishwashers, right? And just turned around to him and said, you know, you ought to thank the Lord for this meal and that you have a place to come from, you know, come to and eat and relax. And he went on and on and on. And then I kind of stepped in. I said, all right, okay, we'll calm it down a little bit, you know. And I said, brother, I said, you don't like that meal? He said, no. I said, you know, no, I don't. And I said, okay. I said, I'll be with you in a minute. I walked all the way around the thing, talked around. I leaned over and I took his tray. And he said, where are you going with that? I said, somebody's going to eat it. You're probably going to eat down at McDonald's. Seriously. So I took his tray and he walked out a little huffy. I said, see you tomorrow. When I went back into the kitchen, the gentleman there was, in fact, he's one of our overcomers. He's saying like this, Pastor Bill, I don't understand it. And I said, what's that? And he said, the ingratitude. And then he goes on to say, this mission has done so much for me and all these wonderful things he goes on. And I've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ here as my Lord and my Savior. My whole life has changed. I can't believe the ingratitude. The ingratitude. But you know what? You see it everywhere. That's kind of the opposite of what? I mean, thankfulness. Yes. Another term would be unthankfulness. Ingratitude. And we see it everywhere we go. Everywhere. The other day I was at ShopRite with my wife and one of our littlest grandchild that we had, that my oldest daughter had adopted. She's 2.5. And she knows everything. Oh, by the way, oh, guess what? My oldest granddaughter just had her first baby, which makes me a great grandfather. Just had it. I am thrilled. Thank you. I had nothing to do with it. Thank you. You know, but yeah, we're thrilled about that. And I'm overly grateful to the Lord that within a week or so, that little baby will be in the house of God. And that'll mean four generations will be sitting there worshiping the Lord. You know, and in his little heart will be worshiping because he'll hear the music. Ingratitude. Everywhere we go, everything we see, ingratitude. Paul wrote, and I said to Pastor Peter when he asked me, what scripture would you like to use? And there were a number of them, but I thought about Paul speaking to, in Romans, and chapter 1, verse 21, and because it kind of is a universal statement on ingratitude. and unthankfulness. And it says this, and we see this again over and over. And just in America alone, in your neighborhoods, in your families. Paul says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now that's, you know, quoted in the, you know, the from the ESV, really. And I was wondering, you know, and I don't often use the Living Bible. You know, it's a paraphrase, and it's okay. I mean, you know, and I'm not adverse to using any translation as long as it really gets the point across and isn't too far from the original thought. And but I want to read you this from that, and you might get a little sharper understanding on it. It says, yes, they knew about him, all right, God, but they wouldn't admit it, or worship him, or even thank him for all of his daily care. And after a while, they began to think up silly ideas of what God was like and what he wanted them to do. The result was that their foolish minds became dark and confused. Now you might think, well, that has to do with the unbelievers and the pagans and such as like that and all that. Really? Well, I got news for you. It has a lot to do with us. So I jotted down some notes and some scripture, and I wanted to share with you because it is tremendously important that we realize how important it is to give thanks to Almighty God for what he has done for you. You ever, when you read the book of Revelation, do you ever notice that a lot of it goes from earth to heaven, to earth to heaven, to earth to heaven, to earth to heaven, you know? And when it does, when you're in heaven, in that heavenly realm, what is being done there? Praise over and over again. Worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor, riches and praise. Worthy, blessed be the name of our Heavenly Father. And the angels and the four beasts threw themselves down and the crowns were thrown. And I mean, over and over there is praise and worship and gratitude and thanks. In fact, John, here's the multitudes he described as, and there were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands in all about the throne of God, praising and worshiping him, giving glory to the Lamb. See, they understand, they have a full understanding of what you were singing about the grace of God. There is power in praise and in thanksgiving, and we miss it. You know what drives me absolutely crazy? I'm going to tell you. Well, one of many things, I guess. But one thing in particular. I know it happens in my local congregation at Fresh Start Church. The praise team will be up there, and they're praising people, and there's people walking in late. There's people that come in there halfway through it. There's people that come in when it's over. Why would you do that? Why would you miss the glorification of the Almighty God? That's half your worship. And you're taking away your gratitude and thanks to him? How dare us do it? What ingratitude! And then I see it over and over and over again. There's ingratitude towards our fellow man. I was looking at Psalm 33, verse 12, and it said, they, you know, here's the psalmist, and here's how he feels. Have you ever felt like this? They reward me evil for good. You've done something kind for someone, and sure enough, boy, they'll kick you right just like that, without any gratitude or whatever, and they'll give you. I mean, I've seen that in churches. I've seen that with congregations and pastors. Rewarding evil for good. He said, they reward me evil for good to the sorrow of my soul. In other words, what they've said about me, what they've done to me, has so hurt me, it's crushed me deep inside my spirit. And children of God, listen to me. It was funny, you know, my wife told me this morning, now make sure you don't say anything mean. I'm 71 years old. I can say anything I want. No, I'm not. Listen, I've seen more and more pastors' souls crushed. Not from the unbeliever outside the church, but from within. Children of God, it may be true, as Ian Bounds once said, that praying pews beget praying pulpits beget praying pews, but praying pews beget a praying pulpit. You give him strength. To the sorrow of my soul. Jeremiah, he knew plenty about suffering. This poor guy, can you imagine being a prophet? Never seen anything good happen in your life. But faithful as he was, he says, he asks the question, shall evil be repaid for good? Shall evil be repaid for good? You know what? It's ingratitude. Do you thank God every day for your pastor and for his wife and for the family? And do you thank God for your teachers here? I'm talking about your spiritual leaders, your guides, your shepherds. Are you grateful? You should be. How about your mentors? You know, I have a mentor. I'm 71 years old, and I have a mentor. You wouldn't think anybody would be older than that. He's 86. When I first met him, he was only 39. 38, somewhere around there. And I'm grateful to him before God every day. You know why? Because I know Harvey, my good friend Harvey Morey, is up at 4 o'clock every morning to 4 to 7 in prayer. Man, there's a warrior, isn't it? Isn't it? Now, not everybody does that. But he does. And I know I'm on that list. And I'm grateful. So there can be ingratitude of our fellow man. Returning good, returning evil for good is really a bad thing. Psalm 109, verse 5 says this. It says, so they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love that I gave out. Oh. Some of you have felt that, and you have felt it hard in your hearts. I know you have. That you've poured out your love towards someone, whether it's in your family, your neighborhood, your friends, your coworkers. You poured out your love, and there's just that rejection, that hatred for the love that you give. Doesn't feel good, does it? Ingratitude. You know, I'll never forget at Christmas, my middle daughter, Kelly, and of course all my kids are, my youngest, my son, he's 41, so they're all older than that. I can remember when she was little. Remember when the Cabbage Patch dolls were real popular? Yeah. You know, nobody could even get them. We had a friend of ours that was out in Arizona. We called her, and she was visiting out there. And she was coming back, and if she could look for one, and she found one. And we told Kelly, you know, and she was only about 8, that she may not get it for Christmas. But we got it. Christmas morning, you know, all the packages were open and everything, you know, and we had our morning time of praising the Lord for his coming and the birth of our Savior. And the packages are opened, and she went through one by one by one, and I just studied her face. And I could tell, you know, there was a disappointment there, but she was grateful. And she said, thanks, Dad, thanks, Mom, and everything like this. That really warmed my heart. Because it's, oh, wait a minute, I think there's another, wait. I got that box. I said, my goodness, Kelly, this one's for you. And I put it in her lap, and she opened it up, and she saw the Cabbage Patch doll. She began to cry. Now, the older I get, the more emotional I get. Look at me choking up over something that happened years and years ago. And all she did was, through tears, literally sobbing, thank you, Mom, thank you, Dad, thank you, over and over again. You know how that made me feel? Do you? It made me feel great. You see, how in the world do you think our Heavenly Father feels? When we say, thank you, Dad. Thank you, Father, for what you've done. Thank you. And children, listen to me. Even through the most difficult times, we can say thank you. Amen. Over the last 5 months, I have lost 6 of dear friends. And one just a few days ago. Very hard, lots of wonderful memories. But I thank God that I've had them in my life. Through the heartache of the loss and the separation, I thank God for it. I've had difficult times in my life, real difficult, whether they're financial, you name it. You name it. But I've been able to bring myself, kind of like, you know, I was mentioning earlier in prayer this morning about Psalm 43 and 44, where David is down. His emotions are down. He's depressed. He's feeling tremendous anxiety and stress on him as a leader. And suddenly he talks to himself. See, that's the problem. We got to stop listening to ourselves and start talking to ourselves a little more. Some of the worst advice I have ever received in my life came from me. Honest to goodness. Honest to goodness. We got to stop listening to ourselves and start talking to ourselves. I know some people, you ever see, you know what drives me crazy? You ever see those people have those ear things, you know, that they're talking, and they're walking by and they're talking, and you say, what? To them, and they look at you like, what are you talking to me for? You know, well, who are you talking to yourself, you know? Some really cool technology. But we got to start talking to ourselves, because you know what? David said what? He said, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why do you let these things? Don't you remember? Stop. Start remembering the great things that God has given you and done for you, and be thankful for them. He got you through this. He'll get you through this. Life is a battle, children. Listen to me. He didn't promise you it was going to be easy. Christianity is not easy. You've been called to serve him, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, not to keep it like yourselves. Don't be like the nation of Israel. You share the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone you can talk to. They laugh at you, they mock you, say you're crazy, whatever. Oh, boy, that really hurt, didn't it? You're not suffering under blood, like Paul says. You know, my gosh, you're not even, you're here in America, you're not even getting a bloody nose. Come on. People need to hear the word of Jesus. We need to be so thankful to God for our salvation that we want to share it with others. But the ingratitude is incredible. Proverbs 17:13 says this. It said, whoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from your house. I hope your children don't see you hating anyone or despising anyone or listening to it in your home. Remember what Jesus said about hating someone? It's like murder. In your house, whoever rewards evil for good will not depart, that evil will not depart from his house. Jesus said something interesting. Remember when the 10 lepers came to him and he healed them? How many came back? One. The man came back so rejoicing. You know, he's in there thinking, and he's going with the other, and one suddenly says, oh, gosh, I forgot to say thanks. I'm so excited about being healed. Which I could understand. But only one of them came back to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Jesus answered them, you know, and he says that, you know, only one of you has come back. Where are the other 10? When God does good things for you, many good things to you, for you, do you thank him many times? Or is there ingratitude in your heart? Neglect the thought. There's no power in that life. In that kind of life, there is no power, children. Listen to me. Jesus knew what it was like to have, you know, evil return for good. What did he say? John 10:32, Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those do you want to stone me now? You know, your pastor, and when I say your pastor, I'm speaking in a general now thought of all pastors, shepherds. They go through a lot during the day. If you're not a pastor and you don't understand, you've never been a pastor, you don't have a clue, children. You hear me? You may have a general idea. You don't have a clue. I guarantee you, you're probably not getting as much oppression from the evil one as he or, you know, he is. Or anyone who is in leadership and ministry. Especially today. We are near the end. At least it feels that way. Whether Jesus, Paul, Peter, James, whoever, told us near the end it would get worse and worse and worse, and people's hearts would grow darker and colder. And they warned us, the church, who is the light. We are also the light of the world. Remember when he said, I am the light of the world? He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have, literally possess, the light of life. John 8:12. We are also that light. And you are Aaron and Hur, holding up the arms of Moses. Your shepherd needs to be held up in every way. And God will make you give account of it. Thankfulness is a wonderful thing. Gratitude, not ingratitude. Looking into the Psalms, and I found Psalm 100, verse 4. What does it say? Children, listen to what it says to you. This is over 3,000 years old. It still works. Enter into his gates with what? Yes. and into his courts with praise. Oh, you know your scriptures. I'm proud of you guys. All right. Be thankful to him and bless his name. That's what you were singing. That's what you were singing. You're to enter into his gates, the house of God. Enter into it with thanksgiving. Oh, there's not one of you here that doesn't have something to be thankful for. And into his courts with praise, praise. And be thankful to him and bless his name. Psalm 107, 22, let them sacrifice, listen what the sacrifice is. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And declare his works with sadness. No, with rejoicing. My goodness. Christians, you should be the most joyful, happy, positive human beings that walk on the face of the earth. But you know what I always say? I walk around and then you see, what's the law of it? Just suffering for Jesus. I'm just suffering for Jesus. Oh, well, go suffer over there. You know? I mean, I know people have difficult times and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying. But always like that. Always like that. I've had brothers and sisters who have left this world, let me tell you something, and they've left it with worse diseases and things like that, with the most rejoicing, powerful testimony of their life and the love of Christ in their life that you've ever seen. Paul ought to know about that. What does Paul say in Colossians 1:12? He says, giving thanks to the Father, giving thanks to the Father who has what? Qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. We need to give thanks. Why? Because we're children of God. We're going to live eternally. Well, it's heaven, you know, and then the resurrection, new heaven, new earth, all kinds of cool things. You know, people have such a weird idea of what heaven in the future is like. And you all ought to read Randy Alcorn's book, Heaven. Best thing I've read, I think one of the best I've ever read. It's been written in 50, 100 years maybe. Not that thick, good reading, but you can't put it down. Simply call heaven. Man, you want to look forward to what we're looking forward to, and we ought to be thankful and grateful and thrilled for our inheritance. He goes on to say, Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving, not in gratitude. Finally, another passage in Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 15. Love Paul's words. He says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Peace must rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. That's not a suggestion. It's like the Ten Commandments. You know, it's not the Ten Suggestions. And finally, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, you probably all should have this memorized. Most of you may have. In everything you do, in everything, give thanks. For this, oh, you want to know, you were speaking about God's will. Bud was speaking about God's will. This is the will of God in Christ for you. Are you thankful for each other? Or do you hold in gratitude? Or do you forget to do a... Oh, children, listen to me. Be thankful for one another. Thank God for friendships. Thank God for the body of Christ that you have. You can come to. Get out of that crazy world for a little while. Be strengthened and renewed. But I urge you to be thankful for the shepherd who shepherds you. Praying for him. And listen, I'm going to close with this. Oh, you pray for him. How serious is your prayer? I want to tell you, you can tell me when you pray for him, when you, if you're physically able, when you fast and pray. That's what the Bible says. Oh, we can throw up prayers. But are we, how serious are we for this man and his wife? For those who shepherd over you, who go through things and have things happen to them and attacks, spiritual attacks. Will you pray and fast? Protect him, be his shield as he is for you. I'm grateful and thankful for all of those who have helped me and supported me even to this day. Tremendously grateful. I'm blessed. But thankfulness, not the unthankfulness, not the ingratitude, but for the gratitude, thankfulness that I have in my heart to God, for this church, for you. And I pray that you grow, and I pray that you share the word of God, but be merciful as you would have others to be merciful to you. That's the word of God. Not Pastor Bill's word. That's the word of God. And I charge you to hear it. I have one more thing to say to you. I love you guys. I do. I love you guys. And the first time I met this man, I bonded with his spirit. He and I have two different personalities. I can tell you that right away. We do. He's a much more gentler, kinder man than I am. I'm much more aggressive and loud and whatever. He's a gentle man, kind, loves the word. You be kind to him, kind to each other. Amen? Amen. Amen.